the Dreamliner was a big deal at Oshkosh. Google signs on to sponsor the Green Flight Challenge. And the Redbird Skyport will pioneer simulator-centric training. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, August 1st, 2011. AirVenture 2011 is in the books now and will probably be best remembered for the Boeing Dreamliner, the disruption to industry meetings caused by Congress's failure to fund the FAA, and the retirement speech of longtime EAA chairman Tom Poberesny. I can't speak for the rest of the ANN crew at the event, but 9 days in Oshkosh for me each year is just about enough. I enjoy the event, but I also gain a renewed appreciation for things like privacy, dry mountain air, and indoor plumbing. Boeing's 787 Dreamliner, the carbon fiber fuselage commercial airliner seen as the future of the industry, landed at Oshkosh Friday at 9:10 a.m. after a flight from Seattle. Boeing says the plane will achieve a 20% improvement in fuel burn compared to legacy planes of comparable size and is scheduled for delivery to its first customer, Japan's All Nippon Airways, by the end of September. Crowds lined up to watch the aircraft land, and the most common comment was about how quiet it is. Thousands stood in line in the hot sun to get a glimpse of the inside of the airliner before it departed at about 6:30 p.m. There is no award for the largest experimental at Oshkosh, but if there was, the Dreamliner would have won it hands down. The CAFE Foundation announced at AirVenture that Google has signed on to sponsor the NASA Centennial Challenge flight competition known as the Green Flight Challenge. CAFE, Comparative Aircraft Flight Efficiency, will conduct the event from September 25th through October 2nd at Charles M. Schulz Sonoma County Airport. The NASA-funded prize purse of $1.65 million makes this the largest ever prize for aviation. Competing aircraft must demonstrate at least 100 miles per hour and 200 passenger miles per gallon on a 200-mile flight. The aircraft entered represent a diverse mix of singular prototypes created expressly for the competition by some of the world's top designers. Most will be propelled by batteries and electric motors, some by biofuel or a hybrid. All competing aircraft will be shown to the public at the Google Green Flight Challenge Exposition, hosted by NASA at Moffett Field, October 3rd. Advance online ticketing for the exposition is promised soon. A group of well-known aviation companies held a news conference Friday at AirVenture to announce the construction of a multifaceted aviation research and development laboratory in San Marcos, Texas. The new facility will be called the Redbird Skyport and is scheduled to open November 8th. Redbird Flight Simulations has collaborated with King Schools to create it, and they're getting support from Gamma, AOPA, Cessna, Avemco, and other industry partners. Skyport is envisioned as a first step in developing solutions to the challenges of a shrinking pilot population, staggering flight student dropout rate, and the ever-increasing cost of flight training. The lab will include a full-service FBO, flight school, and aviation experience center. New ideas will be fostered and innovative solutions tested. The idea for an R&D lab came from the need for quantifiable data regarding the use of simulation in general aviation training. The ProFlight Academy Development Lab will be a Cessna Pilot Center and will utilize a simulator-centric flight training curriculum that integrates knowledge and flight training with affordable, full-motion, visual flight simulation. Directly following the grand opening, Skyport will host a flight training symposium focused on solutions that a flight training organization could implement in the short term to help its business. The annual auction of a custom Ford Mustang to benefit the Young Eagles program may be becoming a sort of economic barometer. The cars have brought in as much as $500,000 each. Last year, with the recession possibly at its peak, the car sold for half that. Things must be looking up. The winning bidder for the one-of-a-kind Blue Angels Edition 2012 Ford Mustang GT was a California man who paid $400,000. Proceeds benefit the EAA Young Eagles organization. Since 2006, Ford vehicles sold at EAA AirVenture auction events have collectively raised more than $1.7 million to support Young Eagles. Tom Poberesny, who steps down officially today as EAA chairman, praised AirVenture's most visible sponsor. Quote, "Ford is a longtime supporter of EAA and our mission to showcase the finest innovation and technology in flight." Unquote. If you're wondering who in his right mind would pay $400,000 for a Mustang GT, look back at the winning bids at the Barrett-Jackson auto auctions. Lots of people create one-of-a-kind cars in their garages, But a one-of-a-kind car like this, which is documented to have come that way direct from the factory, could be worth $10 million or more to collectors in just a few years. Still ahead, France's BEA publishes recommendations from Flight 447. Lopresti gets amateur help in kitting the Fury. And PC Aero takes the Lindbergh Prize for electric aircraft. This is Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 1st. I'm Paul Plack. A memorial service for Greg Poe will be held Wednesday, August 17th at 7 p.m. at the Idaho Center in Nampa, Idaho. The service is open to the public, and a special edition of Greg's Elevate Your Life program is planned. A reception will follow at the Greg Poe Aviation Hangar in Caldwell for friends and family. The Poe family would like to once again thank everyone for their tremendous support and well wishes during this time. Greg was an extremely motivated guy who espoused a healthy lifestyle. His death at age 57 came as a shock to many. The French Air Accident Investigating Agency, BEA, has issued a series of safety recommendations stemming from the crash of Air France Flight 447 on June 1, 2009. Among the findings, the captain's departure from the cockpit occurred without clear operational instructions. The crew composition was in accordance with the operator's procedures, and there was no explicit task sharing between the co-pilots. The airplane was within its normal weight and balance envelope. The findings also show the autopilot disconnected while the plane was flying at the upper limit of a slightly turbulent cloud layer, and there was an inconsistency between the measured speeds, likely as a result of the obstruction of the pitot probes in an ice crystal environment. The agency says that even though they identified and announced the loss of airspeed indications, neither of the two co-pilots called the unreliable IAS procedure, nor had they been trained for it at high altitude. The flight data shows there was a problem with the indication of angle of attack, and that each time the stall warning was triggered, the angle of attack had exceeded its theoretical trigger value. The data recorder shows the stall warning was triggered continuously for 54 seconds. As a result of all this, BEA wants regulators to re-examine the content of training and check programs, and in particular, mandate regular, specific exercises aimed at manual airplane handling and the approach to recovery from stall, including at high altitude. BEA also wants additional criteria for access to the role of relief captain in order to ensure better task sharing. There were also other recommendations, but the big one was for mandatory triggering of data transmission to facilitate localization when an emergency situation is detected on board, and exploration of the usefulness of activation of the ELT when an emergency situation is detected on board, instead of waiting for an impact to set off the G-sensor. Lopresti Speed Merchants Friday announced a unique approach to turning the Fury, which was designed to be a certified mass-produced airplane, back into a pile of parts for an eager kit market. Lopresti CEO R.J. Siegel told us at AirVenture Friday the company has enlisted the help of four EAA chapters in Florida to build one of the planes from scratch, so they can get tips from these experienced builders along the way on how it could be made more friendly to the home builder who may not have access to a 50-ton hydraulic press or high-end machining equipment. When that prototype is done, the working group, which is called Fury Squadron, will get one of the first three completed kit planes for use in a flying club. Siegel says the tail is done now. Lopresti expects the kit to come to market in laser-cut, pre-drilled form, requiring about 800 hours to build. Siegel, who has a background with Apple, says instructions are typically a weak point among current kits. The Fury will combine a traditional manual with online assembly videos, which cater to visual and kinesthetic learners. The tentative price for the kit is $160,000. Engine choices will be the Lycoming 360 or 390 running on gasoline, or the Delta Hawk turbo-normalized supercharged diesel. Look for first shipments in late 2012. At the World Electric Aircraft Symposium at AirVenture, Eric Lindberg, founder of Leap, announced the 2011 winner of the Lindbergh Prize for Electric Aircraft. The program is dedicated to accelerating the development of the electric aircraft industry through a range of activities, from prizes to advocacy. This year, LEAP chose to focus on a different aspect of electric aircraft propulsion from past Lindbergh Prizes by awarding a Vision Award based on the premise that having a complete plan for energy management is the key to widespread adoption of electric propulsion. PC Aero took the Lindbergh Prize's Electric Aircraft Vision Award for the integration of SolarWorld's solar technology into its Electra 1 aircraft and the supporting hangar. The company's vision is for the energy from the rooftop solar cells to provide not only power to the aircraft, but also power for the hangar itself, with excess energy fed back to the power grid. Eric Lindbergh commented, quote, "Visionaries are taking risks. The field is alive with novel approaches and rich in activity and experimentation. With continued intellectual and financial investments, great opportunity exists for technological advancements that could apply well beyond electric aircraft," unquote. And finally today, a pilot attempting to fly from New York to Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, was forced to ditch his 1966 Cessna 150 in Lake Huron. The pilot, 42-year-old Michael Trapp, reportedly survived 17 hours in the lake's 70-degree water before being rescued by a fishing boat. The accident happened Tuesday evening, according to MSNBC.com. In a news release, Huron County Sheriff Kelly Hansen said the airplane flipped over on impact. Trapp had prepared by opening his door, which allowed him to take off his seatbelt once underwater. Hansen says Trapp survived by swimming, floating, and treading water, swimming 15 miles toward the lights on the horizon. Swimming 15 miles toward lights on the horizon before being rescued. Hansen quoted Trapp as saying, quote, "If a 13-year-old can swim the English Channel, I should be able to accomplish this," unquote. The airplane has not been recovered, and given where it went down and the current value of a 1966 150, it probably will not be recovered. Trapp said only that he suspects some kind of fuel problem caused the engine to quit. Given that the 150 has a range of less than 400 miles, I think I can guess what that fuel problem might have been. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, 2008 National CFI of the Year Max Trescott tells us what impressed him most at AirVenture last week. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.